sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hour number two. What? Why? Why? There was no reason for you to say Sharif Eishak was number one using the non-index finger.
I never
just like
did that.
You did. I mean, it's incredible. You can't even see you on the screen. Sharif, how are you, bud? Hello, Sharif.
I think he's hung up.
Sharif going once.
I'm here. I was just letting all that, you know, soak in.
Was that you? You were making us wait with anticipation. Hour two of the Sports Hangover. We'll start off with Sharif Eishak, Channel 6, WDSU Sports. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Better than Jordan and his Duke Blue Devils.
He's moved on to Cameron Edwards.
Yeah, that's my boy.
He wants the Pelsey, even though mock drafts have him in the second round. He wants him to be the point guard here. Look, let's kind of go back, obviously, to D.C. over the weekend. Let's start with the game, and then we'll talk about the future. When you look at that game, it was kind of what you and I talked about, anticipated, and feared, right? A well-coached team that was ready to go from the get-go. The start was going to be important, I thought. Different lights, different pressure, different atmosphere. And LSU battled back, but you could sort of see – the tone was set early. You were going to have to be fighting uphill, I thought, most of that game.
Yeah, when they punched him in the mouth, 8-0 run to start the game, I felt like that was the tone setter, and they never looked back. I mean, they were trailing from wire to wire in that game, from tip to finish. And that's because, like I told you before we left, Michigan State's a good team with a great coach, and that's what usually wins championships. I mean, you can throw in a bunch of talented players like LSU and Duke had. It doesn't really mean anything if you're going to have one player try to do everything like Tremont Waters and Zion Williamson were doing in their game against Michigan State. A team effort truly does win a game against very talented teams, and I just think that's what Michigan State did. They set the tone early and often, and they kept it going throughout. Anytime LSU hit them with a big run, they responded. They responded by using the three ball, and I don't think Michigan State's that great of a three-ball team. They made 13 threes in that game, and they also dominated on the offense, and that's where LSU has been great all season, and they just could not, you know, compete in a game that they love to play, and Michigan State beat them at it.
You know, one of the things, obviously, I thought that LSU would have the advantage of down low and playing in the block and in the paint, and also if their outside shooting showed up, you could really sort of had that. When they made their run, Sharif, and got the game close a number of times to 4 points, that's what sort of happened. It was just really about consistency, though.
Well, pretty much. I mean, that just shows you a very good team in Michigan State. They're able to withstand any big run and punch right back. I mean, maybe if that game was the LSU-Maryland game, I think, you know, if that was the case, I think LSU would have probably taken a lead and never looked back there. But Michigan State just has a ton of players. I mean, Aaron Henry played a very good game. Once upon a time, a week ago, he was getting yelled at by his coach, and people questioned that, and that's a motivation tactic that works. And then Cassius Winston was also playing with a hot hand, and Gabe Brown was with a hot hand. I mean, everyone was just playing a complete game on that team. It just felt like they weren't missing their shots, and they were grabbing every single rebound, and they took LSU out of their own game, and that was pretty much it. It just never felt like LSU was going to win that game once they started that game on an 8-0 run.
You know, when you look at that game and you take a look at how Michigan State moving on to the Final Four, and you saw some of the matchup problems they presented to Duke here as well, man, LSU could have moved on if they could have gotten past Michigan State. You think, or do you think they could have maybe at least made Duke sort of sweat a bit?
You want to be honest with you, Gus, I think Duke was really lucky to be even in the
I agree.
State.
Yeah.
They're a really lucky team because they were losing their first game to Gardner Webb, and they were down double digits in that game, and they were down to Virginia Tech and Michigan State. I mean, they were living like truly with nine lives. They just would not lose those games at the very end. Teams that like were missing blank bunnies right there. They should have lost that, I think, to Virginia Tech. I think they should have lost the week before to UCF. I mean, they had so many lives in this tournament. You know, they were lucky to get past UCF, honestly. And then I guess that's how it goes in a tournament. Teams that are, you know, very good at the end, like LSU was at the time, it worked. But eventually it catches up to you, and it caught up to both LSU and Duke this past weekend.
Speak with Sharif Oshak at Sharif WDSU is the way to follow him over on Twitter from Canal 6. We spoke with Jacques at the start of the show and his sense and feel of being in that locker room after the game. Dude, it's crazy. There's so many questions when it comes to LSU basketball. You want, on one hand, to be excited about the future, yet you have no idea what that future is going to be. It obviously starts with Will Wade. Do you think we have any answer with what's going to happen with that before the April 22nd trial starts? Or at this point, I guess you might as well just wait to see what the trial brings out, huh?
I got to guess that it's not going to happen until after April 22nd. You just can't fire somebody before then, because if he goes into there and they somehow, I'm not saying it's going to happen, he gets exonerated of all this stuff and it's wiped clean and he's free and clear. I mean, that doesn't mean anything with the NCAA, but what if that were the case and you fired him before that? Then you're going to be, the university is going to be held liable for a lot of things. So I think it doesn't happen until, like, I still think it takes a little while after April 22nd when that whole case is over. So I think it's still going to, I still think we're months away, even though you don't want to let this linger much longer, because you're trying to recruit players, trying to keep players, and who's coming, who's going. That's the next big question.
That's my next question to you, and that's why I brought that up, because the NBA draft and the lottery is, you know, May 14th. The draft is in June, and these players have to – now, in the NBA, you can go and get an assessment of where you can go. You can work out. You can do all those things. And I want to say, Sharif, they pass where you can, like, get an agent, but you can still come back to school as long as you don't take anything and see where you are, correct?
Correct. Like, Tremont Waters did it last season. I'm not sure about the whole agent thing, but he tested the waters, and he came back because he felt like, you know, he wasn't a first-round pick. He felt like he can improve his stock. Now, in the locker room, I believe Jacques was the one who asked Javonte Smart if he was coming back next year, and he said probably so. We'll see if that happens. Marlon Taylor, on the other hand, when we're interviewing him, he's just openly said, hey, you know, this is the last time I play with this team. He felt like everyone, a lot of the players were leaving. So, who knows? Nas Reed's podium said, I have a decision to make. My mom wants me, you know, to make sure I do well in school, finish, go to classes, and I do go to classes. So everything's up in the air. My gut tells me that Nas Reed goes, because he's probably a projected first-round pick. I mean, he has the potential to be very good. Javonte Smart, it all depends on what happens here, you know, what happens in the next month or so with this whole Will Wade saga. But if he says he's probably coming back, maybe he does come back. You know, Tremont Waters also, where does he grade out? I mean, this is a deep draft. Is he going to grade out as a first-round pick? I mean, he showed a lot of NBA scouts over this run. He's possibly, you know, a late first-round pick. But, like I said, it's a deep draft class.
Yeah, I mean, look, I use NBADraft.net as one of the places I go to. I don't even see Tremont Waters in the first two rounds. Nas Reed, to have him going 25th to Portland. That's it really for LSU. But again, I think a lot of that's just that unknown, you know, and really, if it's not Will Wade, do you elevate somebody from his staff to try to keep everybody if some of those players come back? I just think, I just don't know if LSU can wait that long for these players, because I think that will determine a lot, right? I mean, if these guys will come back, if maybe you keep, Tony Benford, if they come back, if you keep Will Wade, then I got to make a decision, I guess, one way, shape, or form, to see if I can keep this talent to come back next year, at least some of those players.
Yeah, I think, well, the thing is if you fire Will Wade, and let's just say they do it next week, a week before.
It's an exodus.
The entire thing, they're all gone. They're right. All, it's a mass exit. Everyone's going to go if you fire him. But if they say, hey, guys, they tell them in-house, we're probably going to make the move after April 22nd. We're going to keep Tony Benford, you know, on a one-year trial, if y'all want to say, if he's going to be the interim for at least one more season, and we'll go from there. Maybe some of them stay, or maybe most of them have their mind made up. So right. Maybe they think, hey, the NCAA is going to hammer us, and we're not going to be able to play in the tournament next year, so what's the point coming back whenever, you know, I could just leave now? So it's all up in the air. Like you said, it's just a big unknown right now.
Is it bittersweet seeing Auburn get into the Final Four? I mean, Bruce Pearl, there was a story literally came out this weekend that said he is the rot of college basketball. I mean, that's not a kind column that's written about you. And, you know, you know, there's issues with him. Hadn't even spoken to his university yet. His university sort of backed him. There he is celebrating and into the Final Four. I just think this is going to be a bittersweet year for Tiger fans and their basketball team. They're excited by what happened. They saw the wins. And then I think you're left with a lot of what if. I have no idea, Sharif, if Will Wade on those sidelines coaches any differently and LSU wins against Michigan State. I don't know, because I thought Tom Izzo was phenomenal against Coach K yesterday, and that basketball team was well, you know, just was ready to go and take on Duke. So I don't know if that happens, but there's a huge what if, man.
Man, Auburn, look who Auburn went through. They went through Kansas.
Yeah.
They went through North Carolina. They went through Kentucky.
And
they
lost
the went through all the blue bloods. They went through all the blue bloods and lost their one of their top players in that game against North Carolina. You give them credit. I mean, dude, the whole college basketball, it's just a dirty game. We're not gonna hide it. I mean, we know it's the dirtiest of all sports. Period, dude. Every sport, college, pros, it is what it is. But you give them credit for. You know, Bruce Pearl did a good job in getting them to the Final Four, first ever Final Four. So, played hard, yeah, man. Jared Harper did a good job in the end of that Kentucky game yesterday to help elevate them to the Final Four. So, they got some good players. Even when LSU played them, they were lights out in the PMAC. So, guess you got to give them credit. I mean, they haven't been in trouble. Bruce Pearl hasn't been accused of anything. He's not on any NCAA investigation watch list.
We close out with this. The question of the day is, obviously, it's April Fool's Day. So, Sharif, what event took place that you kind of wish would have been an April Fool's Day?
Man, that's a tough question. I completely forgot about that until you just mentioned it was April Fool's.
I said one of the things to me that kind of popped in my head, the day that people found out that the Saints traded Jimmy Graham, I guarantee you people thought that was a joke. Remember that day? I mean, I'm sure people say, wait, that. Are you kidding? Are you joking? I mean, that could be one. Obviously, we got one response on Twitter that showed the gif of the no call. They wish that would have been an April Fool's Day. So I'm kind of thinking of something like that to where you went, man, I really wish that was a joke. But no, it actually did happen in real life.
Or back in, you know, January when Anthony Davis said he wanted a trade.
There you go. Yeah.
There were a few games back and the entire season was just absolutely derailed 1 week after the no call.
Mm-hmm.
That could be an April Fool's, you know?
Yeah. I said that too, the whole Anthony Davis saga. You almost kind of wish it was like, no, I was only kidding, guys. I want to come back.
I mean, you can go through a whole book of things when it comes to sports in this city, man. It's nonstop between the Minnesota Miracle, NOLA No Call, I mean, River City Relay in Jacksonville. We could just keep going on and on, man. Just all kind of crazy things. So, by the way, which one of your bracket, the sports bracket? I know y'all were doing like a Final Four bracket.
Yeah, not me, Jordan. What?
We're currently in the process.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sharif, that means he didn't win it either. What place
no,
he win?
No, he's talking about the one that I put together.
I'm talking about the plays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What are we on right now?
I think we're on round two.
We're on round two?
Yeah.
On
the
round two.
And that's on one side of the bracket. We've still got to do the bad side.
Oh, we got to do the bad plays. I tell you what, I'm going to predict that Aaron Brooks' backward pass is going to upset somebody on that side of the bracket. Have you looked at that side of the bracket, Sharif?
Is that the ugly play bracket?
Yes.
As far as the NOLA no call, the yes, bad plays that could have been good? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No,
yeah.
I have not looked at that side.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Well,
which one's the number one seed? Is it the NOLA no call, which is obvious?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the number one.
Yeah,
seed.
and then the two seeds, the Minnesota Miracle.
Oh, yes, that's appropriately done.
Yeah, that's probably good. Now the Vernon Davis, you could have picked three plays in the San Francisco playoff loss, right? Because you had the pass to Vernon Davis that got them across midfield, and Alex Smith scrambled like Michael Vick, and then the touchdown pass across the middle to Vernon Davis. So we picked the TDs. This is the culmination. But that entire drive could have been a what the bleep just happened.
Yeah, I think it was 3rd and 20-something whenever he completed that pass.
Yep.
So I was there. I was there. I remember shooting it.
Let me tell you what. It was literally the play that I think Saints fans said, that's it. Ship Roman Harper out of town. It was literally that play. I think that was the straw that broke everyone's back when it came to Roman Harper covering tight ends.
Yeah, that was not a pretty look at all, but 3rd and 20-something, you're right.
I was actually in a pretty decent mood. It's a gorgeous day for a Monday, so I'm just going to focus on that. Thank you, Sharif, for your time today.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad I can join you on your favorite day the year.
It is April Fool's Day. Hey, Jordan.
Yeah.
Come up with an April Fool's Day joke.
I like Sharif Aishak.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
What? No. That,
wow.
Wow. Wow.
That was...
Dagger.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. I thought for sure he'd at least wait after the break and it not be about you. Thanks, Sharif. Appreciate the time.
No, thank you, Sharif. I really do appreciate it. Seriously.
Coming from the guy who says he can beat Steph Curry in a three-point shooting contest.
Yeah. Okay. I will never let anyone forget that.
That was on April Fool's Day.
When we come back, there he is. There he goes. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. Are you watching the Final Four? Are you pumped up? Or do you feel like no Duke, no UNC?
I'll watch.
Kentucky.
I wish Purdue would have.
Who you like? Who do you want to win? Texas Tech, Michigan State, Virginia, or Auburn? Who are you pulling for?
Let's say Texas Tech.
I think I'm going Texas Tech, too. I think I am.
You got to lock in your answer.
I just did. Texas Tech.
I said I think I am.
All right, fine. I'm locking it in. I'm going for Texas Tech.
All right.
800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA as well. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, Robert Emmert of Golf Tech. We're going to talk a little bit about the match play over the weekend. Did you watch? Did you enjoy Tiger versus Rory? Did you watch any of that, match play? I like match play in golf. I do. Team play is coming to the Zurich Classic later at the end of the month here as well. Don't go anywhere. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town, and we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
It's the spring sales event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Come and get a great deal on a Ram today. See all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Keep your tax refund in your pocket and get a new home. Zero down programs are available at Homa's Clayton Homes. Any income is income. SSI, disability, child support, we take it all. Visit Homa's Clayton Homes on Highway 311 or check them out on Facebook. And remember, when you call 985-872-2850, if that old trailer house has got to go. That's Homa's Clayton Homes on Highway 311 in Homa.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. If you'd like to join in the conversation, of course, at ESPN Radio NOLA. What event took place? What sporting event or just anything you can remember that you really wish was an April Fool's Day joke? Tom Brady joining Twitter, and he got everybody by saying he was retiring. April Fools. Have you honestly ever done an April Fools on somebody? I haven't. And before you answer, this public service announcement is brought to you by Oxygen. Breathe it, you need it.
You can't steal.
Telling someone you're having a baby is not an April Fool's joke. I don't know why that's like.
Why are you looking at
I'm not looking at you saying like that. I just, that happens way too much. I see on social media, my wife's friends here to go, hee-hee, I've done it. No. There's no hee-hee. There's no funniness about that. Ever. It's not funny. Like, I've seen on Twitter the last couple of years, like, people really go out of their way for hoax. Like, use one of their friends' little, you know, pictures at the hospital and go, look, see, it's here. No.
I tricked my friend several times that I was moving to Phoenix.
Okay, moving to Phoenix.
And I had like a past plane ticket and I always send it to him.
There you go. That's acceptable.
But not on April Fool's. I do that stuff all the time.
How do you think it would go over the Kleber house if you walk in? Mom, Dad, you're going to be grandparents. You wouldn't even get the word or phrase April Fool's out of your mouth.
They'd know I'm joking.
I'm just saying that there are certain things you can joke about in a certain area. I don't think I've ever done that, obviously. I don't think I've ever done an April Fool's Day. Here's the thing. I think with today, the way it is, with social media and everything, it's hard to lie about something. You can't, like, go quickly figure out or go see, huh? Does that make sense to you? Well, you think you could still sort of... I don't know. I don't think I've been April fooled either. I guess because you know it's that day. Maybe it's because I've always done something for the last 20 years of my life where I pretty much have to know the date. I guess if you're not paying attention to what day it is, you can sneak up on it. You can get it. I'm asking, have you ever been like April fooled? Like, have you believed, thought of something, you know, oh, wow, it was a joke.
Not that I can remember.
Right. So I'm saying, I can't either.
Maybe the time when they had like something going around on Twitter that Tiger Field was going to turn purple, like a few years back.
I remember that.
I might have bought it for like a few minutes.
Did you buy it?
For a few minutes, but then I was like, ah.
See, like, I'm not going to buy anything. I saw somebody today tweet Michael Thomas has been traded for a fifth and a sixth. I'm like, stop. Like, I just, you know what I'm saying? That wouldn't be a good April Fool's. Speaking of traded, I'm serious. I saw that today. Again, Lakers defeated the Pels yesterday 130-102. And it was so funny seeing the amount of people posting little videos or pictures of LeBron and AD kind of chit-chatting. What do you think they said?
I got to get out of here, man.
Like that, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Season about to end. Whew. Hey, what are you doing, man? What you got going on in there?
You want to go to Cancun together?
Cancun?
Yeah. Huh? That's
the new banana boat picture?
Yeah.
Who is on that banana boat now?
Just LeBron.
Just left out to dry?
LeBron himself.
Just LeBron. I'll say this. I saw Jake Madison... Locked On Pels put in his podcast today. We'll get him on this week. I mean, he flat out said, you know, the Lakers shutting down LeBron for the final six games is BS. Like, you know, like the Pels can't do that for AD. Integrity of the game. Where's Kornheiser and Wilbon? Remember when the Pels wanted to shut him down? Do you remember that soundbite I played of Wilbon and Kornheiser saying, we need an active commissioner. Remember? They wanted Adam Silver to actively get involved and force him to play. Remember that? I remember clear as day. Fuddy Duddy sports writers just losing their minds on the thought that the Pelicans would sit Anthony Davis so he didn't get hurt and they had a trade asset. The integrity of the, we need an active, living, breathing commissioner. Do you remember that? I do. Now, Jordan, have you found at all in the ESPN sound bank of any talking head saying the same thing about LeBron. Because I haven't. You? I mean, the closest thing I saw was Bill Plaschke write a column blatantly, you know, saying LeBron's been a bust this year. He's about to get clutched. Zero access. Do you, though? I mean, I haven't seen anything. Have you?
There's one or two things on the sound bank.
Oh, there is?
Yeah. I got to pull them for you real quick.
I mean, but do you have, like, Kornheiser losing his mind?
Not, like, no. Completely losing his mind.
Because you remember the last time, I think this is it. This is when the Pels and them played. This may not be it. I'm pretty sure it is.
Hi, Wilbon. Are you okay with the way the Pelicans are handling
Anthony Davis's
playing time?
Can I be brutally honest?
Here we
Please
go.
I don't give a damn about what the Pelicans are doing with or without Anthony Davis because they're irrelevant now.
Right.
The Pelicans are trying to lose and get in the sweepstakes for Zion. We know that. I understand it. By the way, it's no crime. That's fine for them. But what they do with Anthony Davis is no longer important. Anthony Davis is not relevant anymore until July 1 when I guess, you know, you get to free agency and we'll have all this talk out there again. He won't be a free agent.
That's right.
But we'll have talk about trades and other free agents and his name will be in the mix. But Tony, the Pelicans and Anthony Davis don't matter to the rest of this NBA season in any way.
So the great drama of the first half of the season was when Rich Paul and LeBron James and Magic Johnson decided they're going to make this big move. They're going to offer everybody they've got to New Orleans, and they're going to get Anthony Davis. When that was stopped, when that didn't happen,
see,
that's pretty
Exit
much
stage
it.
Left.
That's
Tony,
much
this
it.
Is a shock because Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, they had the personnel moves. They didn't keep Rondo. They didn't keep Boogie. They were so good last year, and they looked like they were so close to being a threat
that
Anthony Davis could stay there and contend, and now they are once again irrelevant.
Everybody knows that he's not going to be there.
Right.
And so
and he's
going
to play token minutes.
Are you playing him for betting purposes? Are you saying it's the integrity of the game? Because if it's the integrity of the game, then you got to play him 35 to 40. What are you doing? What is the point? Tell me.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
They're done.
Yeah.
They're done.
So are we.
And we're done. Back to you.
There you go. That was on the 27th. And that was obviously going into the game against the Lakers. Right? So, that was the show leading into the game against the Lakers. We're going to take Travis's phone call, because when we come back, they sounded kind of passive there, right, Jordan? They're like, oh, they're irrelevant, who cares? Then the game that night takes place, Pels and Lakers in L.A., and then I'll play what they had to say the very next show. Travis, what you got, man?
You know it's my hour. I hear
what you're
talking about. Gotta come in. You gotta leave my boy alone, man. You gotta leave my boy LeBron alone. I do want to say, even though I've discussed before, I'm a huge fan of LeBron.
Yeah.
There's a lot of satire in this, him sitting out and all this other stuff. But I'll do you one better. If LeBron actually, and this is being honest, mm-hmm. if LeBron actually wanted to win a championship, he never would have went to the Lakers.
Right.
If he wanted to win a championship this year, he never would have went there. So, I mean, a lot of people are upset, but they're not looking at the grand scheme of things. He could have went to Philly, and they could have been championship for him right now, right? Philadelphia might be.
Yeah, stop absolutely,
him.
Yeah.
So, with the whole Lakers situation, I think a lot of people are overdoing it and going all overboard. But, I mean, I can't let you talk about my boy too much.
Not until you chime in. I mean, you know. But, look, I'll say this, Travis, because I'm with you on this. I think it went overboard on both sides of the pendulum, right? I mean, like, I'm watching that team, and they added LeBron. That's it. Okay, fine. You want to say they added JaVale McGee and added Rondo, fine. But, and Lance Stevenson. But my point is, that's essentially the nucleus of the team that we saw. So when people came in to the beginning of the year, they're like, oh, they're going to the finals. They're going to contend. They'll be a third or a fourth seed, and at the very minimum. I'm like, where? So. I'm like, I just didn't get the rest of the team, you know? Right. So I'm with you. Right. I think it's on both sides of the pendulum. Overreaction on either side. And that's why this morning I'm cracking up laughing. Because I said it 2 weeks ago, I'm like, you watch, all of a sudden, if Clutch starts going into, hey, if you're not happy here, if you're not happy with how it happened, we'll leave. We'll go somewhere else. We like the Knicks. Do you want Zion? I'll go over there. I mean, it's funny because there's Colin Cowherd did a 4-minute piece on he should trade him. And then this morning on Get Up and First Take, it's the segment with the little Chiron, and I don't know if you saw it, the little graphic on the screen, Lagon. That's what they called it, Lagon. They have him gone.
Gus, I mean, like, here's the thing about even though he's being announced to say that. Like, okay, they trade him. They get Zion. What do they do after that? Like, they're even worse than before. Like, they have Zion, but clearly we were shown in the NCAA tournament that Zion has some flaws. Like, he's going to be that cleaner position that you're trying to put him in. Mm-hmm. You gotta find a spot for that guy because he got kind of worked in the paint against Michigan State. Michigan State first like 8 points were all in the paint.
Hey, Travis, I got a guy at the gym that's begging for LeBron to come here. He wants AD to come back and he wants AD to convince LeBron to come here.
I wouldn't even want. I'm a LeBron fan. I don't want him.
Yeah, then you can go to the games and you can watch LeBron. You're right there.
I would go. I actually have one question for you. I have a scenario. What would happen if the Pelicans are stuck out? Like, what happens if Kyrie Irving does leave and then Boston says no trade and the New York Knicks don't get the number one pick?
You're going to have to take the best offer, whatever that best offer will be. I think there's some good offers. There's some good offers. He's still going to be able to get some players. Look, somebody at the end of the day is going to want Anthony Davis. Somebody's going to want Anthony Davis. So you'll get something. What that something is, we'll see, but you'll get something. Look, Travis, there's some nice young players out there. I almost look at it as, at the very least, it awakened ownership in this franchise to take them seriously like to do the Saints. So for that, at the very least, I'm thankful for. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Always enjoy the phone call, man. Thank you, buddy.
Always.
Yep, for sure. 800-998-1003. Quick break. We'll come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
We're back. The Mary Bird Perkins TGMC Golf Classic is returning to the Bayou region April 8th through the 13th at Ellendale Country Club in Houma. This signature event features the area's only professional golf tournament and much-anticipated Pro-Am Day. Come enjoy good sportsmanship, good food, and fun, all for a great cause. For more information, go to marybird.org/TGMC/golf.
Credit Karma can help you make financial progress by giving you free scores, reports, and monitoring. But Credit Karma does not give you the love that only a mother can. It's just an app.
I miss my mom.
But you can use Credit Karma to help you improve your credit. But it cannot solve the eternal question surrounding the human condition.
Oh, come on, I need answers.
But signing up is free. No credit card needed. Just download the Credit Karma app now.
Oh, there's my answer.
Credit Karma. Here's to progress.
Let's have a chat about your debit card. The card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month, automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
On The Sporting Life, Jeremy speaks with some of his favorite guests.
The film was pretty good, but it didn't rise up to the best docs. It didn't make me cry. You took the short route on a lot of the production.
Whenever boxing has an opportunity to shoot itself in the foot in terms of regaining its resonance with your average sports fan, it invariably shoots itself in the foot. And this is a real opportunity.
Download this and every edition of The Sporting Life on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
800-998-1003. is a way to chime in. You could also, of course, at ESPN Radio NOLA, looking for what did you wish was an April Fool's Day joke? That was it. Ooh, Jeffrey with the good one. Beastquake. The video. The entire touchdown. That really was one remarkable run, though, right? I mean, can are we even allowed to appreciate the run, or do you just want to throw up because of that play, Jordan? Beast mode. Beastquake. I mean, the dude, he was just throwing people. I mean, it went like a 20, 30-yard run. I mean, bounced off players, just chunked players. I mean, just – and then finished with style. I mean, you know, it really was a magnificent run. I mean, I can appreciate the play. I can, right? Can't you? I mean, right? I mean, like, I don't put that on the same level with the no-call in Minneapolis miracle. Not yet. In case you're wondering, yes, if you're seeing some tweets out there, what gives? Normally, this month, off-season conditioning begins for NFL teams. Today, though, if you are a team that has a brand new spanking head coach, you can start off season conditioning. You get a little extra time because it is the new coach trying to implement his new system. Your Cleveland Browns, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers among those as well. So, Joey, technically, officially, there he is.
The season's underway.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield, there he is. There it is. Already, they had a little press conference, and Odell Beckham Jr. was asked about me first, being me first. It's all about me, all eyes on me sort of thing. And Baker Mayfield jumps in and answers for him, Joey, and says he's here today. I think that shows it. Boom! Baker Mayfield with the leadership, Joey.
Champion.
Championship team. Go Brownies. Because, cool. You know, according to Joey, I mean, Jordy, Jordan Joey.
Yes.
Yeah, the Saints are going to have a tough year this year. Yeah. And I had somebody, where was this yesterday? Where was I yesterday?
Someone's talking about me like usual?
No. Somewhere yesterday.
No, it's weekdays.
Dude, it was great. So yesterday, I had someone tell me, like, every single free agency move. Oh, yeah. So at the gym, Roy, who has a heck of a wardrobe, he purposely on Fridays wears the shirt or jersey of the team the Saints are going to play.
Wow.
He's a Miami Dolphin fan, anti-Saint. Okay, so I walk in and I immediately get, okay, your run is done, your window is over, you've got nobody. Jared Cook's a bum. He only had one good year because they didn't have anybody. They traded Amari Cooper. I mean, it's just on and on.
So I like to hear.
Just, you know, no Max Unger, Drew Brees. He's going to be running for his life. Wow. If they can even snap him the football. Name it. Every single free – give me a free agent name. I'm trying to think of all the things he
Tom
said
Matthew?
Right now.
What are you talking about for the Saints?
No, yeah, for the Saints, yes.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. Bum.
Mark Ingram.
He's like, he's done. He can't play anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. I got the what has he done? Which, again, people forget he did lead the Vikings to a playoff before he ripped up his knee.
Yes.
Okay? He did do that.
Did he talk about Mark Ingram leaving?
Yes. He did say specifically, quote, Mark Ingram is a huge, massive loss. Y'all are really going to miss him.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Lee Lewis.
He did not mention Tommy Lee Lewis. He did mention the other guys. Yes.
Jerry Lewis.
I didn't mention Jerry Lewis.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of Pelicans.
Malcolm Brown. I'm like, dude, you got a Patriot. You know, the guy next to me was like, dude, we even got a member of the Patriots. He goes, yeah. Well, they let him go because he's terrible.
Nick Easton.
Yeah.
Sheena's brother.
Who was how he responded with Nick Easton? Who? He know Max Unger. Who? So I'm just, I guess the whole point I'm getting into this is not to make fun of Roy. Roy can, you know.
Yeah.
Can root for anybody.
Sure.
Can Roy beat you up?
Anybody.
No, I mean, what?
Yes, you're right, Jordan.
This isn't about violence.
Don't matter.
Just a disagreement. Where would that come from? Why you want to throw hands with people?
You're talking bad about him on the radio.
No, I'm not talking bad about him. I'm bringing up what he said today because my point is, if that does take place and the Saints go south, I think Joey, how do I apply to be a Browns fan? Because I like Baker.
If you want to be a Browns fan, breathing or a pulse is part of being a Browns fan.
Is that what that is? Would you go, Jordan? If you had to pick another team, because clearly you definitely come across as someone that likes to attach themselves to winners, right? You would know the first thing about suffering and pain and watching, like I did over the weekend, the Cubs bullpen completely blow a sweep to the Texas Rangers because they're terrible. Like, my son could pitch better than the Cubs bullpen. See, you don't know what that's like. You don't know what that's like. So, if you had to choose between Cleveland and Kansas City.
So, when I was little, my favorite team was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The cream
that was before
sickles.
I knew about, like...
I'm not going to lie. Look, I like when they changed their logo, went through the pewter and all that, went through the flag and stuff. I might have had a Tampa Bay hat.
And then... I transitioned to the Brett Favre era.
Oh, yeah. Well, with the Southern Miss, I did like the Favre. I actually have a cheese head. Excellent. Somebody from up there got
me. Who's going to hoist?
That being said, I probably would stick with the Packers if the Saints went set.
The Packers, huh?
Yeah.
Packers are going to hoist. Lombardi is going to hoist that Lombardi trophy this year.
All right. So you're going Packers. Okay. All right.
All right.
If the Saints win, though.
If the Saints win, so.
Double check.
See, I at least win AFC, man.
I'm sorry.
You can't even give me an AFC?
Give him one.
What did Pat Mahomes do to you? I don't understand it. There's something stopping you. A Brown? You wouldn't even go Baker?
Nah.
You don't like Baker Mayfield?
If anything, I'd go.
You got two LSU receivers.
If anything, I'd
Jarvis Landry.
I'd go Chargers
Beckham Jr.
in the AFC.
Huh? Ooh.
I'd go Chargers in the
Chargers.
AFC.
Because they sell out their big stadium every year.
Why the Chargers?
I don't know.
They got rid of Drew Brees. You should hate them just
San
for that.
San Diego, the Supercharger, even though they're in LA now.
Yeah.
Jordan.
So that chant kind of
Jordan,
went away.
Jordan, I love you, man.
I did like that chant.
Jordan should run for Congress. I love it. Jordan, why? I don't know.
I don't know.
Perfect, man. I love you, brother.
Look it up. I want some Odell Beckham Jr. sound. It's happening right now. Let's see if we can get some for you. 800-998-1003. Quick break. We come back. Robert Emmert, Golf Deck. We'll chat a little bit about the weekend that was on the links. I had fun watching some of the match play. We'll talk a little bit about that, plus your phone calls and more. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Have you been suffering with neck or low back pain? Disc of Louisiana offers the most precise techniques and least invasive surgical procedures to give you your life back. Wake up with only a Band-Aid after surgery. Disc of Louisiana, now accepting appointments in Houma, Metairie, and around the North Shore. Visit GoSpine.com. That's GeauxSpine.com to make an appointment today.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
We parents hear our kids say lots of things that can get us pretty worked up. Things like,
look, Ma, no hands.
And,
ouch, that hurts.
Look, you'll never completely stop worrying about your kids. But you can breathe a little easier with free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP programs in your state. The truth is, they're covering more kids and teens than ever before. So even if you've applied in the past, even if you don't qualify, your kids can now be eligible for regular doctor and dentist visits, prescriptions, and more. So the next time you hear,
ooh, I don't feel so good.
Relax. Your kids can be covered.
Get us kids covered today. Families of four earning up to $49,200 a year or more may qualify. Just go to insurekidsnow.gov. or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover. Time to talk a little bit of golf for the Robert Emmert. Robert, how you doing this afternoon, man?
I'm good, Gus. How are you?
Doing fantastic. How are things going over there over my lakeside of Golf Tech?
Good, man. Good. Got golf season about to be in full swing. Tuning some guys up. Hopefully we can catch some weather. But
Dude, it's been great, man. I know we're in a month now where you're going to have the Zurich, the Masters is coming, but this weather is beautiful to me, man. I wish we could bottle it up, dude.
I know, huh? It seems like we got a few nice days and the rain's right back, but should be breaking through now.
Robert, I don't know if it's just because I know that we're now in the month of April and I know the Masters is coming and I know obviously the Zurich is coming. We get a chance to get out there and do it. So I don't know if that's one of the reasons I paid a little bit more attention as players are starting to kind of get in their process and get ready for the Masters. But I love the match play. It's, look, because obviously in golf, you play for the rounds and, you know, the best score over 4 days wins and stuff, but there's something unique and I love about match play because most every other sport, it's a competition, one team against another or one individual against one another. But why did this weekend seem to really get a lot of attention?
Well, you know, it's a break from that normal, you know, stroke play format, but it gives these guys a little bit more of an opportunity to show some of their personality, show some of that grit we see in the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup. So it mixes it up, but it also, you get to see some emotion. You get to see, you know, the Kuchers and the Sergio going back and forth with each other. It just adds that level of excitement and top it off with the Masters in a week and a half. You know, it really primes you up for golf season.
All right, look, let's be honest. Probably a lot of the reasoning, too, was Tiger was playing really well, going back and forth. And, dude, what a match and pairing when he took on Rory McIlroy there and just going back and forth the shots. That was fun to watch, man. I really did it. They were kind of jabbing at one another, playfully having fun. The crowd was really into it. More importantly, though, the golf was solid, Robert.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that stat for Tiger, I think they showed with Rory and him on the back nine, last 37 holes for Tiger, he had made like 10 birdies, 2 eagles, and 1 bogey. I mean, we haven't seen golf like that from Tiger in years. So it's great to see that. You get that matchup, and then you get both of them on top of their game. That was, you know, really good television, in my opinion. But I'm hoping Tiger can hold form to it. It seems like he's hitting some fairways, and that's the key at Augusta. If he can keep the ball in the fairway off the tee, there's no one that knows those greens better than he does.
That's what I was going to say. Look, in the past, you've seen players kind of tune up for that tournament, and I guess it's just one of those things where, look, that day, that weather, those conditions, how you feel, all that sort of different. But kind of take us through, as somebody that works with golfers to get their game better, how can you prepare, quote-unquote, for a tournament where, like, I look at it as, dude, I don't know how that day is going to go, you know? But how can you prepare for that, Robert?
Well, you know, it's a lot of Augusta is going to be mental preparation. These guys do so much work in the offseason all to tune their swings up. So what they're going to be really doing this week is they're going to be, you know, taking account of where their game is, not really tweaking too much because you're getting to a golf course that, you know, you need to be hitting it high. You need to be working it both ways. So if you've got a swing thought going on, you really can't, you know, fully implement that in such short time. So what these guys are going to be doing is, you know, putting out a game plan for how they're going to play each and every hole, how they're going to, you know, attack the golf course. Because that's really what Augusta is, the beauty of Augusta, the way they put some of these pins. You can't, you know, some holes you're just playing for par, you're playing conservative, but other holes when we get to, you know, 13 and 15 on the back nine, 16 on Sunday, the par three, when the pin's in the swell, you've got to be aggressive. So what they're going to be doing this week is really sitting down with their coach and game planning, you know, how to attack the course, but also how to confront adversity. You know, what the professional does better than the amateur is he makes a double bogey, he's able to get past that, bounce back with a birdie, whereas, you know, your average golfer is going to get upset, get mad, and back up a double with another double. These guys, you know, they really tackle that adversity much better.
Speak with Robert Emmett of Golf Tech. He's going to join us throughout the golfing season here, kind of chat a little golf here as well as we get closer. Hard to believe it's not this weekend coming up. Next weekend, so next Thursday is round one of the Masters. When you take a look at some of the matches and tournaments leading up to this point, including this weekend. Who's playing good golf, man?
I mean, you're seeing some real good golf. Kuchar. Kuchar's been around for a while. Obviously, Rory's on top of his game. In my opinion, too, we're starting to see a lot of good European golfers. Mm-hmm. We're seeing some of these guys break through over on this side. You've got your Tommy Fleetwoods of the world, your Tyrrell Hattons, your Eddie Pepperells, guys that, you know, not too many American golfers know, but really solid chances at Augusta, in my opinion. So I'm looking at some of those younger Euro guys to come over here and make a statement at the Masters.
I'm trying to think of some of the top names here as well that maybe haven't gotten off to good starts. Who are you concerned of or for that would we probably, once we get here to next week, people will start throwing out as favorites but really haven't been playing good?
I mean, the one that really sticks out off the top of the head is Jordan Spieth.
Okay, Jordan, I was just going to ask you about him. What's up with him?
He's got some putting issues. When he was, you know, 2014, 2015, when he's winning, you know, every other pop pretty much, it seemed like he was making every 20-footer like it was a 4-footer. And just of late, he's really fallen off the map with his putting, and it creeps into the rest of his game. We've seen how fragile he can be emotionally at times. And when he starts missing those putts, it gets in his head, and he really snowballs in a hurry. So he's one of those top guys that I'm looking at. Not really, you know, he's going to go off at probably 15 to 20 to 1 just because of his history at Augusta, mm-hmm. but I don't see him really doing much.
Robert, I don't know if this is remotely a decent analogy or not, but with Spieth's quick and young success that he had in such a brief amount of time, I mean, this guy was going for almost four of the majors at once, right, if you remember that. I don't know. Is the analogy of child actor? You know what I'm talking about? Like where they have success young, and then whether it's the pressure, whether it's the Under Armour huge deal, whether it's, you know, all of that, because I guess I just go back to, and I don't know if this is fair or not, but, you know, the social media post of him just vacationing and enjoying and just living life. And then, oh, I'm just going to play the majors. And I just wonder if that maybe sort of gotten to that, because it was interesting for you to just now say it gets to him and you can see how emotionally you can sort of get, where I just wonder if all that success he had in such a short amount of time, so young, it's just hard to handle and understand. Hey, look, you got guys like Tiger, you got guys that have been golfing for 20, 30 years at the highest level. They're still trying to get it back together and, you know, maybe taking it a little more serious.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. Tiger, in my opinion, is really the only guy that was able to master that whole mega star, balancing his corporate obligations, his appearances, the commercials, and the game. I mean, Jordan comes out, he's winning all these tournaments, so he's getting endorsements, he's having to do all these appearances, and the same thing happened to Rory. Rory started winning. He starts getting big endorsement deals. All of a sudden, Rory goes away for a year and a half, 2 years, and he has to come back and learn how to rebalance his life. So I think that's what's going on with Jordan. I'm hoping for his sake that's what's going on. But really, until he makes a big change in his game, I don't see him having too good of a 2019 season or even 2020 season.
It'll be fun and interesting, though. Look, I had fun. Maybe that this match play kind of got me primed up and getting ready to, but hard to believe, man, Robert, that, you know, the Masters is just two weekends away. I guess this weekend's almost like, I don't know if you're a wrestling fan, it's, you know, this week before WrestleMania, just who's really playing this weekend, right? Everyone kind of rests, relaxes, and they'll get out there probably this weekend, if not on Monday, to start practicing for next week.
Yeah, you're going to look at these guys probably getting up there late this week, Saturday, Sunday, over the weekend, to start getting some extra tune-up practice rounds in. But, Gus, I got one question for you.
Sure.
Tiger on 18 on Saturday. Was that intentional? The putt, the 4-footer you missed? It makes a lot of sense with his back and 36 holes on a Philly golf course.
It sure did look like he held on to that. I don't know. I saw a lot of that on social media. I mean, people zooming in on the video and did he let go of the club? I mean, it's just, you know, the footwork and everything. I don't know. I'll say this though. I think he enjoyed it and I think he took a lot out of that going back and forth with Rory. And I'm like with you where he goes, hey, I'm ready. Let's go see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might have been going through his mind. He's like, all right, I'm ready for Augusta. I don't need an extra 36 holes tomorrow.
I'm going to go ahead
and take a break and restart.
Dude, that's a lot. That's a lot of going back and forth. Hey, next week, let's really get into this Masters breakdown. We can have a lot of fun, Robert.
You got it, bud.
Sounds good. Robert Emmett of Golf Tech is going to join us next week to get ready for it as well. Are you a Masters fan?
Watch it here and there.
Oh, wow. Listen to the effort and excitement there. Sports Hangover, hour number 3 coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.